AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio, and I have to tell you, we're going to have some heated discussions today. After last week's broadcast, I received a number of people who called to either compliment or brutalize me. Of course, I enjoy a little bit of everything. Today with me in the studio is Larkin Connolly, and he has some information he would like to share with us. And before I get to our other guests, I want to mention, kindly go to your phone right now, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860 AM radio. As you know, broadcasts in Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And also, you can listen on the internet simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link on the left-hand side. Also with us today is Mark Andel, who you know as the founder of the Made in America store, and he's been a wonderful guest, and we have a lot of information about him. I saw the report in the October-November edition of the Pol-Am News, and also here, I have to get those copies to you, Mark, and also Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And by the way, some of Rich's comments last week and Mark's comments last week, hit some people in the right direction. And I'm glad to have received the reaction about the healthcare issue. To follow up on those conversations, I'm going to ask each member of our panel to give us some thoughts about what they feel about what they've heard during the last week and what they would like to see done to resolve the healthcare issue in the USA. Let's start off with Dr. Connolly, who is sitting across from me, and he's ready to go.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Rich. Good morning, Mark, and to our listening audience. I hope your day is as brilliant as the weather here is in Philadelphia today. Obviously, some of the discussions last week about healthcare spirited me to write what I thought was going to be an internal note to a few of the participants, and actually it ended up being quite the opposite. But, my opening comment would be about the closure of the government, the idea that the government has shut down. I spend the morning this morning listening to all flavors of television and hearing one side, the Democrats blaming the Republicans, Republicans blaming the Democrats. It's a mess. It really is a mess. And I absolutely don't understand why both houses of Congress are incapable of getting together in some collaborative form and coming up with some compromise. Really makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever.
It's like third graders fighting amongst themselves over the basketball or the volleyball or something. It's unbelievable.
And I would say that the main objection I had yesterday or last week to some of the things that Rich said, and I know he's pacing around in his office with a loaded 45. my feelings has been in a nonpartisan environment, and with my score hat off, what I think is that the bill's not ready to be implemented. Obamacare is here to stay. And I think anybody that thinks that it's going to be repealed or taken away is just out of their minds. It's not going to change. Obamacare is here to stay. When a bill such as this has 19 different occasions where it's been postponed, implementation has been postponed, it would seem to me that there really isn't any plan. And we're just going to do this by the seat of our pants, mm-hmm. by an organization of two of our of Congress, the Senate and the House, who both are arguing right now that they're not even affected by Obamacare. With that, I open it up for Rich to fire back. But I don't suggest that Obamacare should go away under any circumstances. National health is here to stay, and it's the right thing to do. And what's been implemented in this bill so far is the right thing to do. You know, protecting our children until they're 26 years old, and all of the rest of the elements of this bill that have been put in place are it's good stuff. But I don't think I held an event at the Community College of Philadelphia. We had a great crowd. It was Obamacare explained, ACA, the Affordable Care Act explained. We had, I'm going to say between 50 and 60 small businesses from Philadelphia who sat there and listened to the Small Business Administration explain, our good friend Dave Dixon explained exactly what ACA was and how it was going to be implemented and who it was going to affect. And David, more often than not, when asked questions by these small businesses, had to say, I don't know, that decision hasn't been made yet.
Yeah, that's what the unfortunate portion of this whole bill is.
I just think it ends up being a terrible, terrible mess that is not represented or understood as a collective movement to have national health. Every time a little issue comes up, we're going to have Congress voting and arguing on this, and you know, the sum of the parts is not going to equal any one of the single parts.
You're right. Rich, what do you have to add to that?
Hey guys, good morning. Morning to the listeners. How you doing, Larkin? How are you?
I'm fine. I'm very, very happy with the weather. But that's about as far as it goes.
we're warm but rainy in here in South Florida. You know, Larkin, I have to tell you, I don't think that we're actually, despite the fact that Henry Chaplinsky, who does our audio, wants to see an all-out bar brawl, I don't think we're altogether that far from this. What I, in listening to the broadcast last week, I think there were some things that I said that, if I may, I just want to take a moment to clarify. I mentioned the Republicans by name, which I don't usually do. I usually don't mention parties by name, and lest anyone listening would construe that to mean that I'm either a Democrat or siding with the Democrats, I'm not. I have no problem publicly to say I have never voted for a Republican or Democrat in any election, state, local, or federal. What I believe the Affordable Care Act truly underscores, and it was underscored before this bill, is that the United States in the industrialized world has the most complex healthcare system of any nation. And I am a very simple-minded individual, and my simple-minded opinion about healthcare is when you look at the taxes that are spent on healthcare, when you look at the premiums that are spent, the co-pays, it is in the trillions. The government alone, with taxes, spends over $2.5 trillion a year. My simple approach to all this, simple-minded approach rather, is that if someone is paying for healthcare, that person should have the same access as anybody else. We're better than other places that aren't able to do that. Because if you think about healthcare in our country, anything short of comprehensive healthcare, which is still not a guarantee to get the care that we need, anything short of comp healthcare is essentially the same thing as going to the slots and gambling. None of us can ever predict if we'll suffer, God forbid, a life-threatening injury, something for our kids, for our spouses, just like I can't predict if we're going to win at the roulette table. We have left our health to chance, despite the fact that we spend more money on health care than anything else in our country. We spend more on health care than we do the military and Social Security combined. And we spend more in the military than the next 15 countries combined, yet we still dwarf that spending on our health care side. So, Larkin, you're right, and I said it last week, that the bill is not going away. But to affirm what you're saying about this chaos of the bill, the very fact that so much of it's been delayed over and over and over, certain segments delayed, certain other segments delayed, goes to show that this wasn't really ready to hit the market. And now that it's hit the market and we're seeing the delays and we're going to see other exemptions come up, My question as a rhetorical question is this bill going to achieve a more accessible, comprehensive style of health care for Americans? And I don't know if the answer to that is yes.
Well,
I just simply don't know.
My prediction would be it's as close as we've come since Hillary Care. And it really, pound for pound, will work. It'll work because we want it to work. Listen, the system's broken. The healthcare system in this country is broken. Period.
Agreed.
Amen.
Agreed.
And it needs to be fixed. I'm just saying, I just don't see Congress as being a body capable of making it work. I don't see the government. I mean, if you like the post office, just wait for healthcare. I just don't see them capable of doing it. And you can't even get an answer. I raised my hand and said to David the other day, who's really responsible for health care? Who's the administrator? Who is the enforcer? And he said, we think the IRS, but we're not sure.
We think.
So
interesting.
Here's what comes out of that. The first thing you know, we have another element of the government. Huge buildings, more bureaucracy. When I know and you know that the private sector is as capable as anybody of making the, of making healthcare work.
Mark, what would you have to add to this? And I have some comments about everything. I'm going to put something on the table as I did back in 2000 before the election was finished. But I'm going to let Mark have his. Feelings aired. Mark, what would you add to this conversation?
Well, good morning, all, and the listeners. And I think that was pretty calm, Rich and Larkin. I was expecting more sparks there. But, you know, first off, with the government closed down, you know, I think is romper room. You know, I always compared that to the romper room. You know, you see 800,000 federal employees across the country. I caught some things last night, like the Grand Canyon's closed, and you know, some people want to do their wedding and all that. So they're hurting them people. Yet Congress is, you know, getting their paycheck. A couple, Chris Collins around here, and a couple said, "Hey, I don't want to get paid while the government's closed down." One thing I don't know if you caught with the close down. I'm big with the veterans. We do a lot. We do a lot with Honor Flight. We got a big day coming up. Well, the World War II veterans tried to see their memorial in Washington. I don't know if you've caught that, but they wouldn't let them in. Well, they knocked down the gates and they went in with their wheelchairs and said, "Geez, we might not live long enough to come back." You know, so I think it was hats off to them for knocking down the gate and going to see their memorial.
Very much so.
That's a disgrace to me if they couldn't have. And I'm glad they knocked down them gates because they deserve it. Them World War II vets are what made this country. So that touches me. Where, you know, here them guys playing games, you know, hurt people like that. And that touches my heart. But, you know, with the government closed down, I just, back to the health insurance, I see all them people signing up yesterday across the country, and Larkin, I'm with you in Rich, and, you know, we need health care, but I don't know, they're signing up, but I don't know if they know where that, what they're going to do after they collect all these data, and I don't know who's signing up exactly because there were 40, 50 million people they're talking about. My biggest problem, as I said last week, is health insurance at General Welding. I've already had, you know, we're doing the 50-50. We've had a couple people leave because, you know, they're thinking they can find it somewhere else. Better, and 50% is outstanding that I pay. Again, that's $125,000 a year I pay. The employees here pay $125,000, so that's a $250,000 health care package. General Welding itself supports, and I just don't see, you know, we don't know enough about this plan because do they mandate it, Larkin, to me, a business owner? Do they make me pay 100%? Do they make me pay 75%? I need to know because I'm controlling costs, and for me, I'd rather pay the mortgage than have to pay the health. So I'm not sure. There's not enough information yet, and I believe with 19 postponements, they don't have a clue what's in that package. It's like the stimulus package. They didn't know where that money went. I never got a dollar. My friends never got a dollar. I was going to put a stimulus mailbox up because I didn't know. Maybe they're missing me when they drove by with stimulus money. But I never got a dollar, and I just don't know enough about this health care. I'm here at a $90 penalty, and maybe you know more. Is there a $90 penalty if you don't join? Because a lot of people told me that I'd rather pay the $90 than pay the health insurance. I'll pay the penalty. So that's my take on it. I just don't know enough.
One of the suggestions that was made by an attendee at our ACA meeting last week at the community college was that he was going to drop health care for all of his employees, period, amen, and he was going to pay the $400,000 fine a year. Now, this is Philadelphia. $400,000 $400,000 a year fine, and he's still ahead of the game, and he is going to supplement their pay to some degree that he can with what was left of his contribution, and insist that they go out and you know, search out the pools and find their own health care.
This Mark, I'm going to find the broadcast, excuse me, where I actually predicted that that kind of thing would happen. I know, sure as I'm sitting where I am talking to you, and it's not just on the air, but it's what I've said for probably year and a half, where I actually said exactly that thing, that companies will simply do simple accounting. Pay it, pay the fine, pay the health care. Well, I'll pay the fine, it's less money.
Well, you know,
it's going to happen, and you'll see it happen. Again, I don't believe it will be an epidemic, but you will see cases pop up, companies paying the fines, alleviating health care for employees. You are going to see it again, not in a chronic mass way, but I do think you'll see it.
You know, I want to add something to all of this. You know, back in the year 2000, when they started with the expanding health care and during the presidential election at that time, I really still believe that an expanded Medicare program for every American of every age would be the best way for us to go. It would make, we're already paying for Medicare from the day we start work until the day we retire. Why can't that system be expanded, one for all and all for one? When I look and hear at all the things, the exemptions to the law and all, it makes me feel like the government has created a new class of Americans. It's those that are exempt, those that are on private plans, and those who are going to be on affordable health care. Why couldn't we have an expanded Medicare system where everybody is equal? What do you think of that, Larkin?
Well, you dropped that bombshell on me about a half hour before we went on air, and I'd have to stop and think about that. I am, unfortunately, 64 and 9/12 of age. I will go on Medicare in 2 months.
Well, as working in social services, I see that the Medicare system is very good for the seniors, and I don't understand why it couldn't work from cradle to the grave. I just don't understand it. There's too many businesses made out of this healthcare system. Now it's dividing employers, employees, people are going on, and I agree that all of the information that you're putting online, how secure do we know that is? There's hackers all over the world could be getting that information. You're putting on all of your health needs. You're putting on your Social Security number, your email, your phone number. Everything's online. Somebody could hack it there. Next thing you know, you could be solicited by outsiders, where the Medicare is a little more secure. It has a history already. It just should. I feel that we need one plan in America. Now, in the year 2000, when I brought that up, the biggest objection was, Michael, that would hurt the medicine companies, that would hurt the healthcare providers, the Blue Cross, the Blue Shield, the whole deal. Well, my thinking is healthcare should not be a business. It should be a service to the people. Everyone should be equal, whether they are a multimillionaire, a senior citizen, a young child, or homeless.
Or a member of Congress.
Or a member of Congress, especially a member of Congress. I don't like the idea when people are on the radio programs, on the talk shows, and they say, well, I don't care about this whole thing because my group has been exempted. That doesn't make sense to me. To me, that's a whole new class of people, and it's objectionable. That's not what the United States of America is supposed to be all about. What do you think of that idea, Rich?
Michael, I think you've been reading my emails.
Yes, you're talking about the single payer. Now, that single payer, they would fight that down because they would say a single payer sounds payer in there. They would go wild. But
Michael,
if you said Medicare system, care. It's nothing objectionable about it. It's already doing a great job for our senior population. Why not the rest of the people?
Well, you know, Michael, and I have to say it to everyone, and I say it all the time, my apologies for having a higher expectation for the way that we do things, let's say, in any other nation around the world. Well, Rich, you want universal? That sounds like Canada. I'm not saying adopt Canada's system. I'm saying that the United States can adopt the best attributes of healthcare systems around the world. Now, again, is there a perfect system? I don't think so. The pursuit of perfection is what we need to be in. You know, yesterday the government was closed down Monday, yet our government officials still took the time to host leaders of foreign countries here, the same countries that they just spent weeks in overseas. Not talking about, hey, you should buy American goods. Not talking about, hey, why don't you bring commerce and business here? Talking about another military action that we have no money to pay for. So the fact, Michael, is this. We're already paying for health care.
Yes, and by the way, Rich, as you know, and no matter what age you are, everyone pays into the Medicare system from the time they go to work. That's part of the match. Mark, you pay that for each and every person. You're matched to the FICA.
Now, Rich mentioned that you pay 70% of your federal tax goes to health-related, right, Rich?
Well, our budget's a little over $3.738 trillion, and our health care expenditures are at about $2.7 trillion, Mark.
Okay.
So, do the
already.
Math. It's a lot of money.
Which people don't even know they're paying that much.
It's only gone up, and it's only gone up over the years. And the thing about the Affordable Care Act, the supporters are saying, well, we're going to save, I believe it was 10 years. I might stand corrected. It might be 20. Let's use the 10-year mark. Well, we'll save about $1 trillion over 10 years. Even if the government kept its current spending pace, which, guys, let's be honest, you really think they're going to keep the pace? No, of course, they'll spend more. So even if they kept it at 2.7, 10 years is 20. $7 trillion. $1 trillion of $27 trillion is like half of 1%. This is what we're claiming to be the difference.
Yeah, it's insane.
We lowered our standards and our expectations so much that we think a half of a percent is enough to go cheer and get drunk over.
You know, Rich, really? I'm going to ask you to do something this week, if you could. Put on your whiskey-soaked torch mentality and go to the internet, if you would, and let us know, when did healthcare in America become such a big business? I mean, all of us remember, or most of us remember, going to the doctor and giving the doctor $20, and that's how you paid for your doctor visit. Now you can't enter the doctor's office without all of your cards and everything. When did this change into a business rather than a doctor, a local doctor, giving you a service?
But, Michael, is it any surprise that we spend 70% of our money? It's as Larkin has said, as I've said, and we've probably said it, guys, for years, we have the industrialized world, we could call it broken, most complex. Whether it's broken, Larkin, or most complex, usually when something's broken and or complex, it usually costs a lot of money to operate.
Right, right.
And that's where we are now. And that's exactly where we are right now.
And, you know, as I listened to all the debates over the last few months, no one came up with that chart that I mentioned last week and many times in the past to give me A, B, C, or D. What is the difference if I'm on affordable health care, if I'm on a private health care, or if I have no health care at all? No one has come up with that. Now, last week after the program, on Wednesday afternoon and Thursday, I received a number of people who wanted to clarify things with me, and I asked them to come on. Some of them are political representatives, and they're unable to do that. But most of the people agree that we need a national Medicare-type plan in the country. That way we all know what's going on. You know what the service is going to be. You know how long you're going to have to wait for it. You know that you're included every day of your life, regardless if you're in this plan or that plan. That's my thinking. I know I'm 12 years after the fact of trying to promote this idea, but maybe it's something that should have been brought up by national leaders during the campaign. It should have been brought up by Nancy Pelosi and all the others, saying that we should have this because here's the chart. Look at the chart, A, B, C. It's nothing. It's pass the act, then you can read it. It doesn't make sense. And by the way, this law, from what I understand, was done the wrong way. In the United States, according to the Constitution, you are supposed to have proposals like this come from the House of Representatives and be affirmed by the Senate. In the Affordable Care Act, it was promoted and passed by the Senate and then sent to the House. Is that true, Rich?
Well, legally speaking, Michael, there's probably some policy wonks out there who could answer that. But I take pride in not being a policy wonk. That's just a fancy way of making you sound like, you guys know Harvard University, right? Yeah, I didn't go there. But I can tell you that as far as your question, Michael, about statistic, I'll just mention this. And I don't know about before the year 2000, although I suspect it's the same. If you look at our spending costs as a percentage of GDP since the year 2000, it has gone up every year, but the last few years has remained level. But it had gone up every single year. And if you look at it again, we'll mention Canada, because they're our neighbors. They've got a compulsory system. People pay in. For all of the looseness of their system, they still spend less of their GDP on health care than we do. Yeah, but we have more people here, more seniors. We also have a hell of a lot more money in America.
Mm-hmm.
Canada is not, no offense to Canada. I've got friends, businesses, and no offense to Canada, but they're not America. They don't have the money that we do.
And you know, Rich, one of the things that's very interesting is every American that's working is already paying Medicare in their weekly paycheck.
That's right.
So why can't that system be expanded for all, so that no matter who you are, you know you're in that system? Now, if you want to add on to have a specialized program for this or that, then that's fine. But at least you know you have the basics through what you're paying in through your payroll. And if you're not working, you pay something. But not this mismatch and all these dealers roaming around telling you have to do this and you have the deadline is December the 1st and all. I'm already tired of it. And by the way, our employers are really tired of it too. It's hurting big, medium, and small businesses. They're all in peril because they don't know what is going to be what. That has to come, health care for their employees has to come out from their profits. That's not a special expense. You have to make a dollar before you can spend a dollar. In America, we spend a dollar and then tax 50 cents worth.
Well, Mike, no, you just hit add one thing, if I may, to that.
Oh, go ahead, Rich.
Mark, is that from, if, and again, this is probably updated information, but I remember hearing Ralph Nader speak about essentially the healthcare lobbying industry. And according to studies that had been done by not fly-by-night organizations, the ones that fly by day also, that as of last year, there were approximately 8 lobbyists per each member of Congress. So, again, this isn't rocket science. Where there's smoke in Congress, there's usually an inferno. And in this case, it's no different from any other industry. Now, how do we temper some of that? Well, it goes into a lot of the propaganda that I like to talk about, which is publicly financed election, term limits, more choice in our election. You know, I have 100 cell phones, 100 hamburgers. I have an entire section of laxatives at the pharmacy, an entire section. Only 2 candidates get all the money, time, attention, and media, though, guys. So maybe, just maybe, I'm not one of these guys who's of the opinion generally, well, it's got to get worse to get better. But maybe with this government shutdown, maybe a segment of our population will reflect and say, you know, maybe just having 2 guys in there, same 2 parties all the time, maybe that's not really the best thing for us long term.
You're right, Rich,
maybe,
and I want to add to that.
Will be made.
As a result of only two selections on the ballot, it has turned off the majority of the voters now. They're not even going out to the polls. They say it's the same people no matter what. You know, it's their cliques that get them in. The family and friends go out, pull the lever. If we had more choices, I'd consider it. But right now, it's the two-party system, and believe it or not, we're getting a lot of play on that as people tell me they're increasingly registering as nonpartisan. Very interesting. That number has gone up enormously across the country.
Well, I will tell you that representing the minority party in Philadelphia, we have been displaced by independent voters.
Yes.
There are more independent voters.
And people tell me they are not going to vote either way. They want more choices. So, Rich, this may be an opportunity for us to continue to promote this idea and let those people from the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth party present the ideas that are needed.
But well, Michael, I'll say that I'm thinking you might want to go to break, and I'll talk. I can talk with you and Larkin with you guys privately, but I've talked with Mark a little bit, and I've talked with Henry. But I've got something that I'm working on right now exactly about that, about choice and ballot access. And I think it will be, once it's fleshed out, I believe it will be something that all of us right now, right, we have to, Americans have to really start to reflect on, this is economics 101.
Right, they have to stand up and be counted.
And there's a demand for something. The demand, there are many capable people. I believe there are many capable people who would welcome a chance to serve in government. But why is someone who wants to run as an independent going to take on billions, not millions, billions of dollars against the two parties? What chance does anyone stand? The two parties quash competition every opportunity they can. That is a fact.
Well, that's
no
true.
But we've been a two-party system for a long time.
But you know what, Rich? We have to
over
help.
100 years, yes.
Yeah, we have to help make more people available, even if it stays at the two-party system, make better people available. People, make them want to come forward to be part of the hierarchy of America, because otherwise the same old turkeys in the same old offices, it's not doing anything for us.
Yeah, I don't have, and Rich, you and I have talked about this, I don't have any problem with career public employees. I really don't. These are people that serve for the greater common good and blah, 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 all the rest of that. It's the politicians that I think there needs to be term limits so badly it's not even
absolutely
funny.
Term and, limits is the way to go.
And report cards, right, guys?
Oh, and report cards, yes. So
romper room needs report cards, Mark. So
I'm gonna leave you with one final remark. I've got to run, and Michael's sitting here with a fistful of commercials that he has to do. But I'm gonna leave you with one thought. Somebody said to me, "Well, if Congress doesn't take care of this, who the heck's going to?" And I say it needs to be a panel of professionals that are involved in this category of healthcare, plus some well-balanced citizens to sit down in what we called in Pennsylvania, and I believe it's every other state, a PUC, a Public Utility Commission type atmosphere, and hammer this thing out to a point, and then it ought to be taken to the people in some sort of a referendum to, just to approve the guts. Obamacare, I don't care what you call it. It can be called Obamacare. But what we have right now needs to be explained and implemented in a fashion, something different than Congress taking a vote every 2 weeks on one segment of the bill. It just doesn't make any sense.
And there's one other thing that I've learned through all this. As people in the Congress are presenting their bills, they seem to put 5, 6, 7 tails on a bill. Every bill should be voted on individually, not included in this to try to get this through the woodwork and all. That's stupid to me.
And Rich, I still love you.
Mark, and you know it's mutual. By the way, Henry had mentioned there's some other non-political related things for us. Let's talk anytime.
Well, we will continue this next week during the broadcast. But first, I have to go to some commercials. But I want to first let everybody know that this Friday is National Manufacturing Day. It's a little bit of an offshoot of what we're trying to do with the Buy American Made campaign. And Mark, by the way, as I talk to these people, they also mentioned you. So you may be considered as a person who's also influenced National Manufacturing Day with your welding company. And if anyone would like more information about this Friday, October the 4th's event, you can go to mfgday.com. It may be a little late for this year, but they are preparing for 14. I want to also mention that in the New York Times on Monday, September the 30th, there was a very interesting article which several people presented to me, and one person said, well, Michael, you and your gang may have to go into a new angle, and that is promoting people to go into the trades. There's an article on that page. It's on page 12 and on the front page as well by Stephanie Clifford, and it says, as orders pile up in the USA, we're seeking textile workers. And what the article simply says is that more and more companies are coming back to the USA. But what they found is that after 20, 25 years of people being out of the industries, we are now suffering with no qualified people to go into these industries. I'm going to ask Henry if he would link that on the front page. It's a very lengthy article. It has several pictures, but it really has a very interesting story. And Mark, when you read this, you'll understand exactly how important your thoughts, bringing in the young people to your place of business and showing them what it's all about, has been. But before I go back to Mark and Rich and thank Larkin for his participation today, I want to mention a few of our sponsors, and I have a number of them who wanted me to mention them today. And they include Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law from the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928, Pat's Auto Tags, located at 2536 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia, and the Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal insurance organization, and Serena's Auto Body Shop. As you know, they have two locations in the Philadelphia area. For more information, call Serena's Auto Body at 215-535-6606. And for great food and lots of Polish and American items as well, stop by Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. And Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, is there to handle all of your legal needs. For more information, you can call her at 215-423-4824. And for all of your banking needs, remember that Martin Bednarek, president of Washington Savings Bank in the Philadelphia area, invites you to choose Washington Savings Bank for all of your banking needs. And also Karen Janad, who handles auto, home, and life insurance, welcomes you to contact her at 215-862-5490. And remember, everyone, that this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 4th, 5th, and 6th of October, is National Small Business Weekend. Please go out and support all of your local businesses. And the office of Dr. Wojciech Zinn and Evers Dental is located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, you can call Dr. Zinn at 215-671-0188. And Mr. Anthony Szuszczewicz, president of Polonia Bank, reminds everyone that they have seven locations in the Philadelphia area. You can always visit the Polonia Bank near you or give them a call for more information at 215-938-8688. And also the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, marking its 100th anniversary of service to Polonia this weekend, wishes all of you the very best and thank you for supporting American Made. And also, I want to remind you as well that the Polish American Travel Service is located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond. You can give them a call at 215-634-3396. And also, Michael Steinman, attorney at law, reminds you that his two offices in Philadelphia are there to serve you. For more information and locations, give Michael Steinman, attorney at law, a call at 215-564-1866. And also, Dr. Eva Marchak is a great dentist in the Philadelphia and Bridesburg area. For more information about her many services, you can give her a call at 215-739-2787. And Port Richmond Pharmacy, located at 2512 East Clearfield Street in Philadelphia, wishes all of you the very best, and thank you for supporting American Made. And Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, located at 1835 Market Street in Philadelphia, welcomes you to contact him at 215-575-7624. Well, as we return to our panel members, Rich and Mark, I want to say thank you to everyone that has been spreading the word about our broadcast. And there is a report that our Mark Andel American Made movie, there's a link on the front page of American Workers Radio on the right-hand side. You can click on there and you'll see that report. It also appears in the October edition of the Polish American News, and it will be linked also on the Made in America movie in Philadelphia report on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Do spread the word. And by the way, I'd like to mention as well that Mark Andel's website, Made in America Store, is located right on the front page. Go to his store site. You'll check out what he's trying to do. There's also AmeriLoop listed up there. And go for Made in America, as well as our National Small Business Link. Well, gentlemen, we've already had a great discussion on the idea of what we do with our healthcare in the future. Mark, I know that you've been going through it. When you have that many employees, just guarding the healthcare portion of what you do in your business is a business in itself, a business that you're not being paid to do. You're doing that as a courtesy for your employees, and most people don't realize that.
Exactly. You know, you touched on when a business brings in money, of course, the income statements, you're bringing money and how much have you paid out. But a lot of people don't realize you need to make a profit, and profits look like a dirty word. But out of that profit, a business has to pay things like your mortgage and your benefits like health insurance. And we have to make $125,000 to $150,000, you know, at General Welding, just to cover our health insurance, and then you got to pay your mortgage payment. So a lot of people don't grab. That's extra money you have to bring in, and then the time spent on researching and, you know, making sure you get the right health care and give them choices. It's such a big battle, and the employees are taking it hard. The employees don't like these times because the economy is so tough. They don't have the disposable income. They're taking it personal. You know, if we pick on them or we charge them a little more, it changes the whole game. It changes the business climate, Mike and Rich. You know, it's tough on the employees with these different things, and then the government closes down. That's just not a good example. They don't lead by example.
Well, Mark, did anything change in your life since the government closed down?
Yeah, no, you know, I got up, the car started, you know, the truck started, the water was running. You know, I got to work, and no, nothing changed in my life, you know. You know, we're still paying what we pay. That's the shame, and they're still getting, you know, their money. You know, it's just a disgrace, really. I mean, how could you just close? We've got a lot of good going on. We got to keep at it 110%, Mike. You know, we just got to keep doing what we do.
Yes, and in fact, as I said some months ago, after a particular event I'm working on in Philadelphia, the Pulaski Day Parade, which will be aired this week on Sunday between 1 and 2:30 on ABC, 6 out of Philadelphia, and we get a tremendous audience. It's a beautiful parade. And anyone would like to see information about that, I know we have a number of our listeners that will be out at the parade and also be watching on TV6, where Alicia Vitarelli and I will be narrating the parade. You can check out the entire parade schedule by going to PulaskiDayParade.com. But as I travel around, I'm learning more and more how frustrated Americans are about our whole system. How can we not have leaders trying to find out ways to make the business climate in America better? As I said, this article that appears in the New York Times on Monday the 30th, on page 12 and on the front page as well, tells a horror story. After 20 to 25 years of all of our industries being located overseas, how do we all of a sudden get those quality skilled people back again? So what they're doing is they're going out to the colleges and begging the colleges to promote all of these industries and what it takes to manage them. Yes, there are many new technologies that are coming around, but believe it or not, people in foreign countries know more about these technologies than our people, our students, know here in the USA. The people who go out and buy the clothing and the shoes, they have no idea how to make those products possible, and yet they're out there buying it from money that's going to come from where?
You know, I'm glad you touched on, Mike, the skilled worker problem, because I right now am in that position. I need welders, of course, for general welding, but a welder, fabricator. I got two young gentlemen that just graduated high school. One tried to go to Alfred State here, and the class is booked, but the class is only 22 people, so it's full. He's got to wait and skip a year. The other gentleman's in 11th grade going into 12th, but Ohio Tech he wants to go to. He had to sign it up in a year in advance. So it's showing the demand for it, but they didn't grow their classrooms. When you really look into it, they only have one or two classes for it. We need to grow skilled workers now. That's one problem with the government shutdown and this health, you know, insurance, all the controversy going on. They're not concentrating on jobs again. They're not concentrating on the real problem right now. This economy needs to be fixed and get moving in the right direction. And one thing we're going to have once we get it going in the right direction, we need skilled workers in this country.
Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you something, that the schools better start reacting to the things that we're talking about, because skilled workers are going to make the change possible. This article says that there's nobody there. They have tons of jobs. They can't fill the jobs because there's no people to fill them. And that's got to change. It's a very interesting article. I'm going to ask Henry to get it linked up on our site, and I'll promote it even on the rest of the week's broadcast and on Saturday. The Affordable Health Care Act, as I mentioned earlier, is creating a total new class of citizens in America, and I don't like that. Being in social services, I see that the good people who worked very hard their whole life, paid into the system, raised their families, upkept their homes, were good people in the community, are now being punished. All these things that are taking place in the cities and the states and the federal government, they're all new forms of taxes on people that they don't understand. And I think this national Medicare bill should be considered. In fact, I wish I could get it recommended to one of the people in Congress that they should bring it up. Why can't we expand the Medicare system and make it, you know, everybody equal? I don't understand it. Now, as I said earlier, we have the national Medicare system, and many of the seniors or whatever would then be able to have a supplemental if they wanted, but they wouldn't be mandated to have it. So, I mean, it should be considered. Bringing on more people onto a hay wagon that's already overloaded is not going to do the trick to save our healthcare system. What do you think, Rich?
Well, you know, guys, maybe you thought I was kidding when I said that every member of Congress joined the Why Work Party. I think that might have been construed as a joke, and you've seen it. It's true. It actually has happened. And what does that really mean in the grand scheme of things? Well, one of my rants, which you guys are becoming familiar with, my wife has them all memorized, is it seems to me that just about everything in America is becoming a luxury. You know, owning a mansion, luxury. Driving a Maserati, luxury. Having health care that I am willing to pay for and hope that I get coverage, luxury. when do we sort of fall off the cliff? We drive off the cliff on this. I mean, Mark, you're talking about your costs, and I particularly sympathize with business owners, in particular small business owners, who have to now worry as much about health care costs, which I know you've always worried about it, but now you have to worry as much about it as anything. You need to be out there as the owner of your company prospecting, selling, right, creating livelihoods, not sitting there, you know, splitting hairs on health care, which all of your workers, Mark, already pay for. 70% of their federal income tax already goes to health care.
Now, let me ask you something, Rich. And, Mark, maybe you can look into this, too. The Medicare idea that I've been promoting, that's already a system in place. We wouldn't have to reinvent the wheel. It would be just transfer people. We already have their Social Security numbers and everything else because they're paying in through their FICA. Why are they, you know, buffing me off with this idea? Every time I call, they say that's not a good business plan. When I hear that, I say, not a good business plan. In other words, they want business. All of these healthcare providers are only in business to make money for themselves, not to take care of the people.
Right. They, you know, America got lazy. We have to admit it. I think, Rich, you're talking about it. Mike, you know it. America got lazy. There's too many people. My team and my family here, they work like dogs. I mean, they work hard. They skip lunch when they have to. We're working hard, and it's a shame. There's less and less percent really working for a living, and we're covering more and more of a percentage.
Absolutely. And it's every time your bills go up, that takes away from your profits. That takes away from your possibility of giving toward health care, of expanding your machinery or your services or your advertising. All these taxes are doing is taking away from the businesses. When I talk to people in my travels, they say to me, I would consider going into a business, and I have considered going into a business. And when I went to find out what it takes to get a fictitious name and all this and that, it's almost unbelievable. It's discouraging. So I better be part of the problem rather than part of the solution.
Right, and hard work produces opportunity. Opportunity produces, some people call it luck, but you have to work hard and, you know, take advantage of opportunity. But they're squeezing out all these small businesses, so you're going to end up with larger businesses and fewer smaller ones. And it's hard to make a dollar is what it comes down to.
Rich, I'm going to ask you to do a very special thing, if you would,
sure,
this week. Could you look into the advantage or the disadvantage of a national Medicare health system? One for all and all for one. And then, of course, if you want the enhanced services, that you can do that. But the people who are on Medicaid now, I mean, nobody knows how all that is going to work. If they're on Medicaid, which is supported by the government for poor people, well, why can't we have them also in the Medicare system? Put everybody together. And then you can start to address the cost of arthritis, diabetes, you know, whatever. You can start addressing the needs. And every time somebody comes in with this problem, you then have a solution because it's been tried all over the place. And this is what we found is the best thing to address that. People would get a service, and it would be covered through the government, which it's covered now. As Rich said, we're putting out trillions of dollars every year from our budget, from money we don't have. We have to go and borrow. So why not put all that money together and make the businesses and all just pay a little more into that FICA, maybe into the Medicare fund, and not have to deal with a third party? I mean,
Michael, when people say to you, that's not a good business plan, see, you can push back, and you can say, like I say, well, what's the plan then? See, that's why when I talk about the two-party system and how it essentially is a two-headed monster that suppresses and quashes competition in our elections and keeps otherwise capable people from running, I don't just say that with empty calories. I have an actual plan, and again, while I can't say, Mark and I have talked about it, right, Mark? We talked about something related to this a couple weeks ago,
yes,
about an idea that we have about talking about this issue. And the reality is, if someone's going to say what's not a good plan, if one political party is going to say that's not a good plan, well, what is the plan then? What is the plan? Every legitimate study conducted that looks at the United States health system, all of them identify our health system as antiquated, chaotic, broken. Not a question of access to care. That's not really so much a question, although you've seen, I believe, our quality of care actually decrease because of the way that our health system is essentially run. Because if you look at what would be considered a true competitive free market healthcare environment, in a universal style of healthcare, Michael, people can choose what doctors they want to see, what hospitals they want to go to. So you know what that's going to result in? That's going to result in the best doctors, the best hospitals, et cetera, getting the busiest. And when they get really busy, guess what they need to do? They need to create jobs. They need to create training, which will create jobs. And the other health officials, we'll call them, doctors, facilities, et cetera, that aren't so busy because they're not that good, are going to either A, have to find another business, or B, they better start getting competitive and honing their skills. Isn't that actually what free market is, Mark? You have a free market, you have a store, a product. When it becomes a demand for something, here's what happens. That demand, what it does is it creates accessibility.
Now, Mark, I'm going to ask you a
question.
You know, that's a very good point, Rich, and I'm going to ask a question of Mark as a result of what you just said. Mark, with a national Medicare system, it would end all the nonsense of employers being held responsible for the health care services that's needed by their employees. Would that be better for you if there was a single plan, a Medicare plan, that everyone is treated equal?
I think it would be if the cost was leveled out. Yeah, because it's my largest cost right now, and it's the best benefit an employee is searching for. So without it, I may not keep my talented employees. With it, I can. So it's absolutely something that needs to be looked at. Mike, if you and Rich and us can figure this out, I can't believe professionals, if they got together for a few weeks, couldn't do it.
Well, I'll tell you, two people called me last week, one day after the program, to rake me over the coals over discussing this on the community-wide station that we're on. Why am I trying to rile up the people when we already have a wonderful plan in place? And what I said to them, of course, riled them up even more. And I'm going to, before I give that response, I'm going to ask, Mark, are you in any special category that you don't have to abide by the healthcare system or anything like that?
No, I'm not.
And Rich, are you in any special category?
Well, yeah, my system is to play the blackjack table styles, but in all seriousness, no, I'm.
You're
I
not.
No
but the point, my point of. Is, people in government, as well as some well-connected groups, are exempt from Affordable Care Acts and everything else. That, to me, doesn't make sense. Because being in social services, I believe everyone should be treated equal. And working together, we can accomplish more. Gentlemen, as you can hear, it's time for us to say Dovid Zenya, which means see you again real soon. Auf Wiedersehen. See you around. We'll be looking forward to you being with us on Saturday at 11. And also, we'll be back here for another edition of American Workers Radio next Wednesday at 11 a.m. My thanks to Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel. All of us working together are changing minds and opening the door for more conversation. And by the way, Mark, thank you for that special email you sent me linking our radio broadcasts and all. I appreciate doing all that. Rich, make sure you check out ways that we could get onto the Medicare program nationally, and let's discuss it even more next week, because health insurance is hurting jobs and is hurting businesses because they're finding ways to opt out of helping employees instead of employees being trained for good jobs and moving forward. Gentlemen, have a great one. Talk to you very soon.
Take care, guys.